Oh, it's got a metronome going in the background.
I like that because I can't hear that because you've got the earphones in. So I think you have to put up with the metronome and I don't have to.
Okay, hello. Welcome.
You can do this whole thing with a metronome. Though.
Yeah, I am going to do it.
If I hear unusually rhythmic sentences coming out of your mouth, I know why.
Hello and welcome to our podcast.
I didn't say I wanted to, I just don't know why.
My name is Luke Wright.
Yes, it is. I can't contradict you there. Sorry, I can't hear the metronome, so my timing's off. My name's Joel Stickley.
And what we thought we'd do today is talk about some subjects. We've chosen some subjects at random beforehand. And
Names out of a hat, drawn by Postcode Lottery.
It's Scrobling.
Well done, Scrobling. So, marvellous. Luke, tell us what scrobling is.
Scrobling is when you're on Last FM, Joel, and you put your iPod into your computer.
But before you carry on, can you just tell us what Last FM is?
Everyone knows that Last FM is your big saddo.
Before you carry on, can you just tell us what an iPod is?
Okay. That would be helpful. Well, even my mum knows what an iPod is.
Before we carry on, can you just tell us what your mum is? What's your mum, Luke?
My mum is a Zimbabwean who's been living over here for about half an hour, 30 years. I was thinking 30 in my mind. That was half an hour, but about 30 years, probably longer than that even.
Your twisted view of immigration.
Yeah. Look, we're talking about scrobling, not my mum.
About scrobling your mum.
You can't scrobe. You could scroble your mum if you had a trap called My Mum. You could scroble that. Basically,
but
scrobling.
Why don't you tell us what scrobling is? Like?
Scrobling is when you put. Your tracks up on Last FM and they can keep sort of a clandestine eye on what it is you're listening to. So it's quite embarrassing, my Last FM profile. I've had to do it anonymously because I've listened to myself 216 times since I started my Last FM.
All one track or...?
No, a variety of tracks. What they generally are is me speaking over the top of... samples from GarageBand.
So you and out of copyright jingles. That magic combination.
216 times, Joel. Quite honestly, it's in my top six of most listened to things. Do you want to know what else I've listened to and lasted? We can do this. We can go on to Last FM and I'll show you my user profile. And
what I'm interested in knowing is how that record of what you've been listening to, including 216 instances of your own voice, how that's influenced what Last FM offers you.
I never listen to Last FM. I'm on Last FM purely for promotional reasons.
So, you're giving a website all information about every track you listen to on your computer or iPod so they can build up a comprehensive profile of your musical tastes, and then you're not getting anything out of that.
No,
you're not taking their suggestions on board.
I just like to chip in, basically. I think if the man wants to know... I'm honestly, people just go, oh, but I don't like the idea of the government knowing all this stuff about you. I mean, I want people to know about me.
Even if those people are Google, Last FM.
Mate, you can't choose your fans.
I wouldn't say they're fans so much, really.
Well, they operate as them, and quite frankly, they're the closest thing I've got to real fans. So if you look at it... this is my username, user 5555.
That's very lucky to have got that one.
I don't know. Yeah, I know. There's a lot of people who were like, oh, what about user 5555 1982? And I was just like, no, I want user 5555.
I love that when people have email addresses that they clearly set up when they were 13. And then continue to use into adult life and in a variety of professional contexts.
Yeah, like crazy cat. 93 or
underscore exclamation mark.
I know someone whose email address is the hairy fairy slug edition. She is still 15, actually. Okay. To be fair, it might be a new one, actually. See, this is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I don't like Last FM because this is my user profile. What have I listened to?
I Am the Walrus by Oasis.
Oasis, no. Manson, Seymour/. Oh, you can edit them. That's quite good.
So you. Get rid of embarrassment. Then
I listened to my own track three times in a row.
Three times in a row on the 7th of April at 12:36 p.m. Is that a lunchtime treat? Oh, lunchtime. I think I'm getting listened to my own poem.
That's like, it's not a poem. What I've done, Joe, is I'm at the moment, I'm trying to create my own album.
It's far more than a poem.
It's far more than a poem. So what I'm actually
it's a poem with some copyright-free samples in the background.
3 hours ago, I listened to Hey Luciani by The Fall. So that one? Hey, Luciani. Hey, Luciani.
Even if I had known that one, it would have fallen out of my head after that rendition. I think you probably just spoiled any memory I might have had.
But I did, you see, it's telling me I listened to these tracks twice, and I didn't. I didn't listen to Underneath the Sky by Oasis twice. I don't even know what that sounds like. What does that sound like, Underneath
the
Sky?
Also, according to the next column, you listened to that twice, but both times it was at 6:09 p.m.
That's impossible.
Maybe you listened to two versions of it, layered on top of each other, in some kind of sonic experiment.
I didn't do that. Do you remember that? Right, you remember that band, what they called the Flaming Lips? They released an album and they had on vinyl, it was four different vinyls, all slightly different, and the idea was you're supposed to put them on four record players and play them simultaneously to create the proper, you know, the ultimate aural experience. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Did it work?
Yeah, the NME gave them 10 out of 10, so clearly not. My wife, Sally, who you know, but they don't know out there in podcast land. Who are you? What are you
it's
doing?
Probably
with
you,
your life?
Like, listening to it three times in a row.
That's great.
Lunchtime.
This will be Scrobble. But my wife spends hours and hours online checking, like, to get the cheapest deal. She spent hours on eBay, like, bidding for an item and not. Right. And then she goes, but I saved a fiver. You consumerist whore, look at you. But I think that's a worse situation because the man, I'm doing inverted commas here, the man.
There should be some sort of audio equivalent of waggling your fingers either side of your head.
It's using this tone. The man.
The man. Yeah. Okay, so like a glottal stop and then an emphasis on the first letter.
A glottal stop. Oh.
The man.
Let's just stop and...
Glottal.
Glottal stop.
Glottal stop.
Glottal stop. Isn't that a good word, isn't it? It's like the word schmuck, which means jewellery in German. But I think the man is taking her time. Might be taking my money, but he's taking... The thing is, if she spends 2 hours longer buying something and saves a fiver, that's suggesting that her time is worth £2.50 an hour. And quite frankly, I haven't been on those sort of wages for a couple of weeks now, so...
What are you going to do with all those minutes you've saved? What plans do you have for that half an hour?
Well, I don't know. I'll probably like enjoy the product I'm going to buy or listen to
yourself on Last FM three times in a row at lunchtime as a treat.
So I've written on my list Jay Goody. That was my attempt to be
topical,
sort of topical. Mm-hmm. Controversial maybe. What do you, Joel Stickley, someone who I know takes very little interest in current affairs, especially sort of, and let's be honest, low rent cultural, current affairs. What do you make of the Jay Goody saga? That's what I like to know.
It does seem strange, particularly this thing. Parkinson came out this week. It didn't come out. Parkinson hasn't yet come out. Let me emphasise that right now. something I wanted to talk about. It's about my own sexuality. touching Billy Connolly on the leg and just confessing all. No, Parkinson did not come out. I cannot stress that enough. Parkinson emerged this week.
It emerged. I have an image of him like with his tie hanging off, his jacket ripped. Parkinson emerged. He emerged from a dumpster.
Kind of coal mine of chat, being all bluff and northern. Yeah. Parkinson made a public statement.
Yeah, popped out. Didn't pop out, can I just say.
accusing the media of having hounded Jade Goody throughout her short and pointless life to an early grave.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
Her short and pointless life?
those may not have been his exact words. Parkinson, well-known savager of the rich and famous. And he said that he felt very sorry for her, that it was a tragedy this had happened, and that he felt the media should be held to account for first vilifying and then martyrising. Martyrising's not a word, is it?
Martyring.
No, martyring would be the actual killing of someone who becomes a martyr. But if someone has been killed and you then hail them as a martyr, is there a word for that?
I don't know. PR?
I don't know. Vilification and subsequent PRing of Jay Goody. And it just made me wonder if everyone that Parkinson has ever interviewed has, gone on to a happy and full life.
Do you think he might be part of the problem rather than the solution?
I think he may be covering his tracks.
Quite frankly, I didn't hear this, what part of it. He gives a fuck what Parkinson thinks, do you know what I mean? He's like got nothing to do with
him. He's one of the people that we should listen to because everybody loves him.
Why does everyone love him?
Everyone loves him because...
Why? Why, Joel? Give me one reason why everyone loves him. Like, he interviews people. I know it's meant to be a really difficult job, but why does everyone love him? Why is he like a national treasure? Who gets to decide these things?
He's a national
public opinion, but fair enough.
Because he's old. And he's northern.
Yeah, but,
and he's been around for a long time. And those three things are comforting. Because all of those three things make us feel superior to him.
Because things change, don't they?
He's old, so he's going to die before us.
Yeah.
He's northern, so he's less well-educated than any of us.
Yeah.
And he's been around for a long time, so we have control over him.
Yeah.
We know everything about him. We can predict his every move. Parkinson is a known quantity, and we like that.
So this is a bit like scrobling, isn't it? I mean, I'm putting my stuff out there to make you feel better about me. You know a lot about me, then.
You're trying to make yourself Parkinson.
No, I'm not trying to make myself Parkinson. I couldn't be Parkinson. That's what I couldn't be. I couldn't do what he does.
Wouldn't it be tragic if he had Parkinson's?
We've got a gate. This is the technique. We've got a gate on the sound here. So if what Joel and I say goes too quiet, it cuts out. And I'm listening to this. And you said, what if he had Parkinson's? And I laughed in quite a low way. And so the gate cut in. And I thought maybe the computer was judging us or judging you, Joel.
Cutting us off.
It's just like, I'm not having that.
But my question is, how would the media, the print media specifically, that I believe Parkinson is referring to in these statements about Jay Goody, how would they deal with that news?
Parkinson had Parkinson's.
Yeah, what headline do you write for that? What respectful headline can you possibly...
Exactly.
I think they would all really self-consciously avoid the fact that his name is Parkinson and he's got Parkinson's.
National tragedy. Imagine you had no scruples at all, okay, and you had to come up with the best, like, zinger of a pun about Parkinson. It's too much of a gift.
It's too easy, isn't it?
It's too easy. Well, what would be the pun? Come on, this is great radio. I was thinking about this.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I've just put a photograph of Parkinson.
Surely it would be Parkinson by name, Parkinson's by nature. Because it's not the same. It's not a perfect pun because one's got an S on the end.
That's not even up to News of the World standard, let alone The Sun, which, as we all know, is the zenith of headline
Parkinson
writing.
Parkinson by name, Parkinson's. No, Parkinson's by name.
Are you speaking meter again?
No, I'm just trying to work out how many words. That wouldn't look good. It's too long, isn't it?
I think I would just put a big black and white, sombre picture of Parkinson's face in the middle of the front cover, and just above it, in black block capitals, I would write, "Holy fuck, no!" ! The exclamation mark is important because it expresses surprise. That would be the level of my shock and disappointment.
But you could do that with almost anyone. Do you know what I mean?
Or any news event. But just a photo. Holy fuck, no!
Yeah. And finally, holy fuck, no! Parkinson has Parkinson's.
What was that, Hugh Edwards? I can tell because it didn't sound Welsh.
somewhere in the back of my mind, I thought, am I going to make this Hugh Edwards? No, don't, because you'll get it wrong and it'll sound like your Nessa from Gavin and Stacey. It'd be bad. But there was a part of me just going, but he's the only one to do, isn't he? You can't do Christian
You can't
Guru
do Trevor Murphy. McDonald, that's racist. Yeah.
You can't, but Hugh Edwards you can do, and otherwise it just sound like, so there was a little bit of me just going,
that's the point. Whenever there's an opportunity for an impression of some regional accent, there's always a little part of you that tells you to do it against your better judgment.
Yeah,
like when we did that gig in Northern Ireland.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If someone came to, like a Northern Irish person came to Essex and did an Essex accent, like an Essex piss taker, no one would, we'd just be like, oh, whatever, like, we wouldn't take it. But people who live in these sort of regional, I mean, everyone's regional, but you know, the people with real, they have this sort of strange misplaced pride about where they come from.
What you're talking about is cultural identity. Anyone invested with a sense of cultural identity doesn't like to have it mocked.
Yeah,
whereas
exactly.
If you grew up in Essex,
we don't need one. We've just got everyone, because we kind of, we've just got everything. It's like the TV is made for us, you know, like, just generally, like, cereals is made for us. Do you know what I mean? We don't need to have a special, like, oh, Yorkshire tea, because, like, all tea is for us. Do you know what I mean? And we can use the Yorkshire tea if we want to, but just generally, any tea that isn't attached to us, that's just for us.
And how does it feel being everyman?
Well, it's fine. I've got a Mondeo. It's nice.
Is it lonely?
No.
Lonely up there?
No. I've got all the other people from Essex up here with me.
That sounds like hell. How's the metronome going?
Yeah, it's good.
Do you feel like now, it's enhancing now, your performance?
We didn't quite get as far as your opinion of Jay Giddy. It's sad, obviously. It's sad that Jack Tweedy isn't going to be able to make any more money out of the papers after... In the next, sub. He did this. I've been in the hairdressers, which is why I look good. And I was reading OK magazine, which is, I'd say, less than OK. And Jack Tweedy, that's his name, isn't it? Tweedy, yeah. Goody and Tweedy. I think his name's Jack Tweedy or something like that. He was giving his interview. He's you know, Mr. J. Goody. And he was,
oh, right.
And the first thing they did was, get out of the way, but why are you doing an interview only 4 days after your wife's died? Isn't that a bit mercenary? And he went, I'm not doing this for me. Jade said to me that I should do this interview. And I want to know what that conversation was like. Because what he's saying, the way he's describing it, is like at some point Jade went, Jack, promise me one thing, yeah? That you will do an interview with OK Magazine 4 days after I die. Just promise me that one thing. Let me know.
And make sure it's exclusive.
And make sure it's exclusive. It was like, are you doing a... Was that your...
No, I was doing an impression of you. I was trying to make it seamless with what you were saying.
Yeah. Or, right, but I think what actually happened, it was like they sat down with their accountant and worked out how they were going to live for the next few months.
I wonder how far that excuse can take him. I wonder if, you know, when he's promoting his own Hollywood film based on the life of his ex...
Well,
not ex-wife, dead wife.
Dead wife. He's a widower.
A widower.
Yeah.
What? It's interesting, isn't it? Women become widows, but men become widowers, which sounds altogether more sinister.
Widower. Yeah, because isn't it like what, you know, isn't that what you call, like, that the con man who goes from, like, rich heiress to rich, the widower, and he kills them off and he takes all their money. I'm sure there was, like, something, I saw that on Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack on Sky One back in the early to mid-90s.
Who's Robert Stack?
Robert Stack was this guy. I think he was, like, he's a kind of Charlton Heston sort of looking figure.
Okay.
And he was a Hollywood actor. And I only know him from presenting this programme called Unsolved Mysteries, which were like true unsolved things. And it was a bit like, you know, X-Files in places and stuff. And I remember one thing about Robert Stack was that he had a heart attack. And to prove just how, like, undead he was and, like, yeah, I'm Robert
how
Stack.
How undead,
you know,
he was.
Yeah, he presented a whole episode of Unsolved Mysteries from his treadmill, as if to sort of prove... But who's he proving a point to? Do you know what I mean? It's not like...
His cardiologist. I'll show you.
Yeah, but you can imagine him be a bit of a Charlton Heston sort of, like, yeah. I don't know anything else about him. Robert Stack was his name.
Who names a child Charlton Heston?
Well, I don't think they named him Charlton Heston. It's not that their surname was Smith, and they were like, Charlton Heston Smith. His surname's Heston.
Charlton Heston Smith sounds like an altogether different person.
Charlton Heston.
Landed gentry.
He sounds a bit like Murray Lachlan Young. Charlton Heston Smith. Here's a poem. Yeah, no,
Charlton. Interesting.
Yeah, Charlton is a football club. Not really a name, is it? No, Charlton was the brother out of... it's an American name. He's in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
You're taking Fresh Prince of Bel-Air as your reference point for the norm of American culture.
Yeah, well, that
it must be a normal name. Yeah, it was in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, I mean...
His brother, Jazzy Heston. I didn't think that was strange at first, but now I remember, actually. In Fresh Prince of Bel-Air...
Okay, so Jay Goody, good thing, bad thing.
You can't reduce a person's life to good thing or bad
you,
thing.
You called it, well, not well, actually, you using Parky as a mask, your own opinions, called her life short and pointless. Short, I'll give you. Pointless, Joel? Pointless, was it pointless?
Look, I was merely expressing the fact that Jay Goody's life, in many ways, is the same life that all of us have, which I don't think you can find any substantial way to deny is short and pointless. It was more of an existential point than a Jade Goody-specific point. I believe that Camus had to go through a similar justification after he wrote his book on Jade Goody.
Okay, and on that bombshell, we'll move on. I think next we had BBC News most read list. This is
BBC's website.
Satirical territory.
Oh, I don't want to do it now.
this is the best bit of the show. We've been leading up to it. Joel's got some really good pre-planned jokes in it. Off you go, Joel.
Is the gate on?
The gate just came on then, yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay,
good.
Yeah.
I'm going to see.
Called Dead Air, which I was told by the Reverend Richard Coles the other day is the number one sin of radio, Dead Air. Yeah?
Who's the Reverend Richard Coles?
Reverend Richard Coles.
Have you been doing Thought for the Day?
No, the Reverend Richard Coles was the keyboard player in the Communards, progressive kind of 80s sort of band. We'll play a little bit of Communards for you right now. So that was the Communards there. Obviously,
that wasn't the Communards. you left a gap of about 3 seconds.
Yeah,
but that was the Communards.
When this goes out.
I refuse to acknowledge the magic of radio in this instance. I don't think I'm going to refuse to let you go back and put a song in that gap because I prefer you saying, "Let's hear something from the Communards." That was the Communards. I think that's funnier. But actually playing the music. I think that's better in every way.
Don't put
the Communards.
Okay, so that was... Anyway, the keyboard player, Richard Coles, was, you know, it was...
We've actually got Richard Coles in the studio with us here. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Richard Coles. Well, that was Richard Coles. You see how much better that is? Trailing, topping and ending content without including it. That is genius. That's a perfect method.
He now presents various things on radio. But afterwards, in 2005, he became a reverend. The Rev. He's a lovely bloke. Anyway, he presents Saturday Live, the genuine real radio thing I do, not the pretend thing we do in your house. And he was telling me, he was saying, oh, you know, they're talking over the beeps. You know the beeps? The beep, beep,
yes.
Beep, the news. You know, it took that. It's the second worst thing you can do in radio. And I, like a big, big, green, wet behind the ears fool, said, "Oh, what's the worst thing?" And obviously, it's dead air. That's the worst thing you can do. We're back live. So, honestly, let's go to your ripe satirical BBC most read list news items. Then, are they?
Oh, no, I've gone off the idea now.
Okay.
I just like the constant tension on the BBC News website between the items that the BBC has decided are the most important and, you know, put as their headline items, normally to do with economics and politics.
Stupid, fuck-brained dickheads of Britain actually want to read about.
And, yeah, the most read column, which is almost always cute animals.
Yeah.
Or unfortunate deaths. Mm. Or hilarious misunderstandings.
Yeah. Did you see the one recently with a big penis on the roof?
Yes, boy painted a penis on top of the house.
That was good, isn't it?
And
he's obviously a real trustafarian, wasn't he? Because he was off travelling for a year and the parents earned this massive sort of like £1 million mansion. They had found about that is the public school system for you, isn't it? It's like the amazing scope of that. Like, I'm not just going to draw a cock on one of my parents' things. I'm going to draw a massive 80-foot cock on the roof of the biggest thing they own. That kind of confidence and ambition is what the public school system will give to you. Okay, so what...
So in the BBC most read section, article about a lap-dancing nun.
Lap-dancing nun performs for church.
Actually, the only thing that made that really worthwhile, the story unfolds pretty much as you expect it to, lap-dancing nun. But the pull quote for me is, Miss Noble told the BBC World Service that the transformation from podium lap-dancer to nun happened gradually. That, to my mind, that's surprising.
I love the way it just happened sort of seemingly without anything to do with her, any input. It just wouldn't happen.
Well, one minute, I was a podium lap dancer, and before I know it, 10 years later, I'm a nun. And I don't know what happened, honestly.
She's taking
taking no responsibility.
No responsibility for it at all. She's I am a... A lap dancing nun.
Pop group Pet Shop Boys have revealed that they turned down a request by animal rights group PETA to rename themselves the Rescue Shelter Boys. Good story. That's what the public deems worth reading. What other bands do you think could and should change their names on the basis of pressure from charities?
Well, the Animals. Would they, I'm just keeping on that theme. The Animals could become... Well, no, there's nothing wrong with animals.
No, there's nothing wrong with animals per se. I don't think there's any anti-animals groups that would...
Okay.
I think maybe the Grateful Dead would be under pressure from anti-euthanasia groups. Seems a bit political.
That was slightly laboured. Well done. No, we got there in the end.
Yeah, good.
So, any closing thoughts from you before we sign off for this week?
Yes. I just... You know, what strikes me is not only the importance of preparation and scripting, but also the necessity to edit material.
Yeah, okay. I've really irritated myself this week, but I kind of knew that would happen anyway. Every time I try to say something funny, I've reached for the wrong word. Like there, I can't quite get my word. It's
you can say scrobled again.
I've got a big, fat Jamie Oliver tongue, which doesn't help. But generally, I just don't think, you know, I'm cut out for this sort of thing. So,
if there's anything you want to take away from this, I would say it's self-loathing.
Yep.
Theme of this week, self-loathing.
Yep. Self-loathing. Okay, we'll see you next week then. Ta-ra!